Where it comes to media, as digital diva Clay Shirky once noted, consumers are now producers, and that is the story. The once great wall separating reporters from readers has crumbled like sand. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. With great power comes great responsibility. Does it really matter today whether Peter Parker's Uncle Ben said that or if Voltaire did? Probably not. High culture and low culture have pretty much found the same level on the infinitely flat web. In the just-released Elements of Blogging, co-author Mark Lucchese celebrates this democratization, though he cautions that the best blogs take hard work and require the authors to act responsibly. Mark Lucchese joins me now. Welcome to Beyond the Book, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, we're looking forward to chatting with you about the new book because it's a great time to remind people about the real value of blogging. Mark Lucchese is an associate professor of journalism at Emerson College in Boston, a veteran newspaper reporter, newspaper editor, and magazine writer. Mark Lucchese covered politics and government in Massachusetts for more than 25 years and won several New England and Massachusetts Press Association awards. His primary areas of interest are public affairs journalism and online journalism, and his research is focused on political blogs. Mark Lucchese is the author, with his Emerson colleague Jerry Lanson, of the book The Elements of Blogging, Expanding the Conversation of Journalism. Lanson and Lucchese also co-blog at theelementsofblogging.com. And, you know, Mark, I guess we're both old enough to remember when blogging was the big thing about 10 years ago, and every month you would see a new number for how many blogs there are. We stopped counting how many blogs there are.
Yes, when I was doing research for the book, I was unable to find a number later than 2011 that was reliable. There was a company that was keeping track. And at the time, it was 183 million blogs. And 10 years ago, yeah, blogging was a very hot topic and a hot idea. But it's very interesting. What's happened is that it's come back. It's the hot topic and the hot idea in 2015-2016. There's a man who was at the Columbia Journalism School named Sri Srinivasan. He's now digital director for the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And a lot of us in the news business and in new media look to him as a bit of a savant. And he was here, gave a talk last spring. And one of the things he said was, what's old is new. The hot things this year are blogs and email newsletters.
And podcasts.
And podcasts. You're exactly right. Podcasts started, like this one, podcasts started as very much a niche. And they have, I cover podcasts in the book, and they have just exploded. There are podcasts that have hundreds of thousands of viewers. Institutions are doing podcasts. And you're still able to create, with a blog, with a podcast, media at very low cost in your home studio, which might be your kitchen with the door closed. And it can begin to pick up listeners and go more and more viral.
So in that world where we've got so many blogs out there, what is it that's brought them back to interest for people? Is there something that's changed in the digital environment? Or how would you explain this resurgence of blogging?
I'd say a couple of things. One is that everything that's on the fringe moves to the center sooner or later. And in, oh, say, 1999, 2000, there were less than two dozen blogs on the internet. You had to write, you had to be competent enough to write your own HTML code to make a blog. And the first big change was the creation of blogging software, where it made blogging as easy as writing an email. If you could write an email with an attachment, you could now do a blog, you know, Blogger. The second thing was, I said everything in the fringe moves to the center. When blogs started, and take, for example, 2004 and the 2004 presidential election, blogging and the political side exploded. And you saw My Daily DD and Kos and Daily Kos. And the mainstream media, I don't know, that's actually not a good term, mainstream media. The legacy media, the traditional media, the big media were just completely out of the loop. So what happened over the next, I'd say, 10 years is that blogs moved to big media. There's not a big news organization, whether it's radio or television or newspapers online, all of their online sites, they all have blogs. Blogging moved from the fringe to the center.
It became an extension of reporting. It was where everything that didn't wind up in the print paper sort of landed on online. Wasn't that really how it worked?
Yes, but it also became a new way to report. I've been a college professor a few years now, but I was, you know, out there working in a news business when you started to have, and I was in newspapers, you started to have to think not just about what was going to go into the new, that was going to be inks pressed onto dead trees. You know, that wasn't all you thought. You had to think about, well, I need to update this blog two or three times today. Or, well, here's something, a piece of news I've come across. It's not, probably doesn't merit a full story, but our readers should know about it. I can write two or three paragraphs, and that became a blog. In the early part of this decade, live blogging became really big. And if take any event from a baseball game, you know, we're in Boston, so a Red Sox game, to the Oscars, to a campaign visit to New Hampshire, there are people out there, and not just professional journalists, live blogging the event. And you can follow it that way.
So the thing about blogging is there's an opportunity to reach an audience globally in a way that people who were, if not amateurs, at least kind of part-time journalists could never have done before. And I think that's remarkable. And the point that you've made in the book is that blogging isn't simply kind of putting stakes down on a certain small territory and sitting there alone. That blogging inserts you into a community. It puts you into a neighborhood along with all the other blogs that are out there, but the blogs that are also following perhaps the same particular interest that you have. Talk about the relationships that bloggers have with each other. Do they exploit those relationships in ways that provide an advantage to them? Do they sometimes forget about the other bloggers? How do they think about their companions online?
For several years, the Boston Globe asked me to write a media criticism blog. And there are other people writing media criticism blogs around the country.
Only a few. Just about everybody's a media critic these days.
I guess I'm talking about, not to be snotty here, but people who had worked in journalism. And I when the Globe asked me, there had to be a couple parts of the deal. One was that I not get paid because I didn't want to compromise my integrity. And the other was that they don't edit my stuff, you know, because I'm blogging about journalism for the biggest journalism organization in New England. But there were other folks around the country, and you might, in making a point in your blog, sort of say, you know, this blogger in D.C. writing about media said this, and then you get an email saying, oh, hey, thanks, man. You know, what else are you working on? And there's that sort of thing. There was also the thing, linking to other bloggers helps create a community. Not only that, it helps build your blog traffic. So if I'm writing about a blog and I say, here's a blogger who works at this publication, this online publication, and I link to it, the phrase is link love. I'm giving him a little link love. And if he's got trackback software, if he's got his trackbacks turned on, he's going to see that I linked to him, or she's going to see that I linked and going to check out my blog. And there were times when other bloggers about media quoted me and linked back to my blog. So there's that part of it. There's the peers. The other part of it is the readers, where you if you, 20 years ago when you worked at a newspaper, you printed your story and maybe there was a letter to the editor. Now you write a blog post, you put it up there for the world to see, and the comment section is open. And people say, wow, that's really interesting. Thank you. People say, I can't believe what an idiot you are. People, you know, discussions begin to happen in the comments sections, back and forth. I think as a blogger, you can step in, and if somebody says, you know, you didn't really consider this point, I'll step in and say, that's, well, thanks. You know, I hadn't thought of that. And so there's a community, if a good blogger can create a community not only of other bloggers, but your readership is your community. That's why we subtitled the book, Expanding the Conversation of Journalism.
What's interesting is, I mean, one of the hallmarks of a successful blogger is that he or she has a strong voice. You really sort of know that this person is coming from a particular perspective. So, Mark, when you think about that successful blogger, you imagine an extrovert. But blogging is also a powerful way for people who may not want to jump into a conversation in the physical world. They can jump into a conversation online. So expanding this conversation really opens it up to people who wouldn't otherwise participate in other conversations.
Exactly right. And the first press critic of them all in the United States who wrote for a major magazine was A.J. Liebling in The New Yorker in the 30s and 40s. And he wrote in a parenthesis in an article, I think it was in the 40s, one of the truest things ever written about journalism. And he said, the power of the press belongs to those who own one. And with the advent of desktop computers and an Ethernet cable that plugs you into the Internet, everybody owns a printing press now. That's where let's think of it as a platform. When I was a political reporter for a chain of newspapers, say, I had a platform. I had a certain, you know, number of, we knew what the circulation was. But I had to work years and be hired by people and vetted and get promoted to this job to get that platform. Now, you can, with a blog and an internet connection, you have a platform. What's important to remember is, I think it's David Weinberg, a writer on the internet, twisted Andy Warhol's famous phrase, and Warhol said, in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. And he said, on the internet, everyone is famous to 15 people. So there are plenty of friends and family blogs, you know.
Right, which is fine. And I guess one of the things that even someone who's writing a friends and family blog or someone who's a professional, whether in business or in media, ought to think about is ways to really raise the level of the blog. And you give a number of interesting suggestions in a chapter called The Anatomy of a Blog Post. And there were two that I thought were particularly interesting. One was around links. You've been talking about links. You say, really be creative. And I was disappointed to learn that for you, Wikipedia is the kiss of death. Don't link to Wikipedia.
It's not so much the kiss of death, it's boring.
Almost the same thing then. So really, I was struck, and now I'm going to, that's my takeaway. And that's another element that's important from a blog post, which is the takeaway, something I can actually use. So my takeaway from that chapter was, I'm not going to link to Wikipedia anymore. I'm going to do a little more work and find some way to get past that. And you think that's a good thing?
I'll tell you why. If I'm reading an interesting blog post, and the blog post is about James Brown and his early music, and it says, you know, one of his key albums was such and such, and I click the, and it's underlined, and I click the link, I go to Wikipedia, I'm disappointed. I could have gone to Google and found it myself in a minute. But if the link is to, say, a blog by a music writer who's done a lot of research into James Brown's this James Brown album and thought about it, now the blog is giving me more than just the blog. The blog is giving me, that's my objection to linking to Wikipedia. Anyone can find any topic they want on Wikipedia in 10 seconds. Make the link more rewarding for your reader.
And that really extends the value of the blog. It's not just your own post, but you're doing something that leads people to more exploration. And this discussion should be, in that way, kind of encouraging research of your own, not just reading the research that the blogger has posted. You know, we spoke about the anatomy of a blog post. There's also the anatomy of a blogger. And there is one key physical requirement.
Thick skin. If you're going to go out there and you're going to blog about any topic, and a lot of people like to blog about, say, let's say people like to do movie reviews, and you're going to say you didn't like this movie, down there in the comments section, there are going to be a few people who say, you idiot, this is a wonderful movie. You didn't understand the movie. You're not qualified to write about movies. And if you're going to stand on the platform and dish it out, you need to have the thick enough skin to take it. The alternative, of course, is to go into your blogging software and disable comments. But that's, to me, defeats one of the main purposes of a blog, which is to create a community.
Right. And in fact, you want to see those comments. You mentioned, in the previous physical world of reporting, you only very rarely even heard from readers. And to hear from them regularly, even though there's an occasional jerk out there, it's kind of comforting to know that the stuff is getting read.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there have been so many commenters and blog posts I've wrote who have added information. And you know, maybe through research, maybe through their own knowledge, and they did it in a very helpful way. You know, oh, that was a very interesting post. You might be interested to know that also, and then they provided further information, and often a link, and I was quite grateful for that. I've had commenters call me out on mistakes, on a factual mistake, and what I would do then is go back, fix the blog, make a note that I had original, of where the mistake was, because I think that's the ethical thing to do. And in the comments section, say to the commenter, thank you. Nice catch. I fixed the mistake. I appreciate your input. That's creating a community. And that is, I think, the most rewarding thing about blogging.
We've been chatting with Mark Lucchese, Associate Professor of Journalism at Emerson College and the co-author with his Emerson colleague Jerry Lanson of the new book, The Elements of Blogging, Expanding the Conversation of Journalism, out just recently from Routledge. And Mark Lucchese, thanks so much for chatting with us.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.